coming back from that brief intermission. Kavavah v'alav. Mishnah says that Adam Mazik is always chayiv. Adam Mazik is always chayiv, even ba'onis. There is a machlok who tells Ramban whether you're chayiv ba'onis gomor. Absolutely nothing I could have done whatsoever I chayiv or not. But clearly the standards are very different from Nizkim and Mono. And that's presumably because I'm chayiv to pay for what I did because I did it. Not because let's say I was irresponsible. I did a ma'ase nezek, I have to pay for my ma'ase. What our Mishnah tells us at the end is that by mamon ha'mazik, certainly, shmirasan alecha. By mamon ha'mazik, I'm chayiv because I have a chiyuv shmira. And I violated, and the Talmud points out, the language of the Shita Mekuvetzes. We should be kones him. We're going to penalize him. In other words, you are a shomer, and you're obligated to guard your property. If you were irresponsible, you didn't sufficiently take care of your property, you have to pay for your irresponsibility. I'm paying for my irresponsibility, but not by Adam. Presumably, I'm paying because for my maisa, not just because I was irresponsible. And what Rabbi Schechter and the Berakas Avraham and several others suggest is maybe that's what the Mishnah in the Lo Hareis is talking about. I would have thought, what was the Havamina? What was the Havamina that only Shar and Mabu would be Chayiv and Esha would be Pater? Right? The Maisa Esha is Chayiv too. But I would have thought, if the Torah wouldn't have said Esh, I would have thought only Shar and not Esh. Why? Because Shar has Ruach Chayiv. So some of the Rishonim say, Shor is Rachayim, and therefore it's more of a risk. In other words, it's, you know, Chiyuv Shmira, you know, there's more need to be Shomer. But some Rachom suggests is no. In other words, I would have said, maybe only Chayiv on live things, because on a live thing, I can speak about the Masa of my Shor. I can speak about the Masa of my dog. My dog did a Masa. My dog acted. See, the fire acted. Sort of a stretch, the fire's not alive. So I would have thought there's only a chiyuv nezek when it's ruachayim, because then I can speak about the shor doing an action. And then, perhaps even the next step of darko leilo chulahazek, and Schechter and Briggs and Brown both suggest that also the esh is not alive, but at least it moves. So you can, in some sense, speak about the action. The Maisa Hezek by the fire. The fire is moving. But you clearly can't talk about the Maisa Hezek of the Bor. The Bor is not an actor. It's not. It's immobile. There's no way, with no stretch of the imagination, can allow you to say that the Bor is acting. So that's where you have, if you look at the way that the Zaporim look at it, then the middle of the Mishnah, Lo HaRei's, the Mishnah is pointing out that I could have had one tzad l'chakira, but as you look at more psukim, it becomes clear you have to adopt the other tzad l'chakira. That while Adam HaMazik might well be chayiv because of the Maisa Nezek, but Mamon HaMazik, you're chayiv because, even if I can't talk about my property did something, I'm chayiv because of me, because I wasn't a valid shomer. Shmiras on the left. Now, this idea takes us in several directions. One is a way in which it. One is a way in which it plays out practically. One is in which understanding more of what we mean by a chiyuv shmirah, and number three is coming back to the Rashba. Just to unpack the idea a little more, so the Rav Shach points out that after all, that's, and I think he's not the first one to point out, and that Mishnah in Perek HaKonis that you looked at. And the first Mishnah, the sixth Perek. So what did that Mishnah tell you? It tells you a couple of things. So the Mishnah talks about several dinim. I bring my sheep into a pen, no b'fina karoi, and I locked it properly, b'yotzev hezika. I locked it in a way that under normal circumstances it should have been enough, and to keep those sheep within, and so by some fluke they end up getting out, and they go ahead and munch on my next door neighbor's prized petunias. I am pater. That's number. But if I didn't do proper shmira, then I'm chay. Right? Or if it broke at night, the thieves came and broke it. I'm pater. There was an open fence, but I had no way of knowing about it. I'm pater. That's the first set of dinim in the Mishnah on the Nehem Abayz, the opening Mishnah paragraph bonus. And then the Mishnah goes on to talk about. So there's number one. The Mishnah tells me that there's a way to be pater on Shahr HaMaaseh. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about Shahr HaMaaseh. We're talking about shame. There's a way shame to rest. There's a way to be pater, and that is proper shmira. Number two, the Mishnah says, another way to be pater, which is it could be someone else as chayav in my stead. How is that? If he's a new shomer. Either because Hotziua listed, or Misara Laroan. Either I handed over my shahr, I hired a shepherd, or in modern terminology, if you frequent the streets of the Upper West Side of Manhattan, say you hire a dog walker. It's a profession. You see people walking down the street with like 8-10, they're holding like 8 leashes of 8-10 dogs at a time, walking all the dogs. That's the modern Rowan. That's the modern Rowan. The dog needs to walk. The owners are not at home during the day, so you hire someone to walk your dog. Right? Or you can go to a pet shop. If you own a pet and you're traveling, you're going to be away from home for a week or two, so you can bring your pet to the pet. There are certain pet shops offer boarding services, and some veterinarians and animal hospitals offer boarding services. Right? They have a dorm for dogs and cats. Right? So what do you call that in Hebrew? What do you call that in Hebrew? A roeh. A roeh is an example of a shomer. Either shomer sacher or shomer chinam. Right? A roeh.
Too bad.
A roeh. So a shomer. We usually think about shomerim in the Bava Metzia sense. And we usually think about shomerim. The focus of the psukim, the shomerim, the parshas of shomerim in the Mishpatim, is that if I asked you to watch my stuff, if I'm paying you, if I'm not paying you, as the case may be, you get to use it, you don't get to use it, the Arba Shomrim, but if by hook or by crook, you're keeping an eye on my things, so usually we think about the Dinim of Shomrim, we think about you are liable if the thing gets damaged. If the Pikadon, if the item being given to the Shomrim gets damaged, that's Bav Metzia territory. The Shomer's responsibility to make sure that the item remains whole. But there's the other half of the Chiyuvei Shomrim, which is the Shomer's responsibility to make sure that the item doesn't cause damage. That's it doesn't get damaged, it doesn't cause damage to others. So if you're a dog watcher, or if you're a shepherd, so Chiyuv number one is make sure that the dog doesn't get hit by a car. That's your classic Bav Metzia. You have to make sure that they're paying you to watch the dog. You have to make sure the dog doesn't get nizak. But there's also the Bava Kama angle, which is if you're a dog watcher, you have to make sure the dog doesn't bite someone else. If you're a shepherd, so there's the classic Bav Metzia, you have to make sure that no wolves eat up the sheep. Okay, now after fair, you're Shalom Chinim, Shalom Sachar. What's your degree of Shmira? Make sure that no ganavim come and steal the sheep. But also the Bava Kama angle. That's the machlokas Avram and Lot. Make sure that the sheep don't eat someone else's grass. That's also part of the chiyuv shmir. Not only shlo yuzak, but shlo yazik achir. Those are the two halves of the chiyuv of a shomer. Again, as you said before, roeh is an example of a shomer zacher, as is a dog watcher. Now, the Mishnah says, not only, so the Mishnah also tells me another thing, that not only is there a chiyuv shmir in both directions, there's also a chiyuv to pay in both directions. Just as a shomer, if I'm watching your dog, and the dog got hit by a car, I might have to pay back for your dog. I was watching your dog, and he got malnourished under my care, I'm going to have to pay for the damage to the dog. That we know, that's Bav Metzia. It's also true that if I was watching a dog, and while on my watch, the dog bit the postman, who has to pay for the, who has to pay the postman? Me, the showman, not the Baal HaKelah. If the Roe Lot allowed the sheep to go graze in someone else's property, and now that someone else comes and says, I want to sue you, the sheep ate up $80 worth of expensive Kentucky bluegrass, so who are they coming to? The Mishnah HaKodesh says they're coming to the Roa. Nichnas HaRoa Tafta. The Roa takes the place, and the language of the Mishnah is fascinating also. It gives you a svar. It doesn't just say HaRoa Chayv. Nichnas HaRoa Tafta. The Roa takes the place of the owner. So now I have two major concepts in this first Mishnah HaKodesh. Number one, I could be potter if I did proper shmirah. As the owner of the animal, if I did a proper shmirah that should have contained the animal, but I locked the deer properly and there was some fluke it got out, or the fence came down in the middle of the night, I didn't know, I'm potter. Number two, if I hire a roa, I'm potter and he's chayiv. We transferred, the chiyuv transferred over to him. What do both of those dinim tell you? What are both of those dinim telling you? It's not the pshat that in this, the simple or simplistic reading of the Rambam, Mamonam Hizik. I'm chayiv for the acts of my property. No, I'm not chayiv for the acts of my property. I'm chayiv for the results of my irresponsibility. I have the chiyuv shmirah. If you own property, part of the Torah says owning property, membership has its privileges, but with privilege comes responsibility. If you have the privilege of owning property, you bear responsibility to make sure that property doesn't cause hazard to others. And what's mechayiv me to pay is not the maisa nezek done by my mama. What's mechayiv me to pay is my lack of shmirah. I have a chiyuv shmirah, and I have to pay if I didn't fulfill it properly. So if I was irresponsible, nothing happened, I let my dog run loose, I shouldn't have. But the Maaseh Baruch Hashem, he decided today not to cause any damage, so I don't have to pay. I'm not going to be punished for a lack of shmirah if there were no consequences. But the punishment is, the language of the Rebbe Yonasan, is that I'm chayav for the results of my e-shmirah, my lack of shmirah. That's why, and that explains well both the Mishnah HaKodesh. Now, what if I did a proper shmirah, and despite my proper shmirah, somehow the animal got out of some fluke, I'm potter. That's not the case for Al-Mamazik, presumably. Al-Mamazik, I did a ma'aseh nezek, I'm chayav. Even though I took precautions, all ma'aseh, I did a ma'aseh nezek. Hashem king, by shor, it's not because my mama did a ma'aseh nezek, it's because I violated my need to be shomer. That's why if I was shown there properly, I had the right type of lock on the deer on Potter. And that's also why the shomer, if I hire a shomer, now it's his chiyuv. It's not, he doesn't own the animal. I own the animal. I'm the bailiff. It's still my animal doing nezek. But it's his chiyuv b'shmira. He was one of those posheya because he took over my chiyuv shmira. He didn't take over my ownership of the item. He took over my chiyuv shmira. And even let's say the Mishnah says hotziu alistim. If someone steals my animal and lets it loose, he took over the chiyuv shmira. There was no formal kinyan. That's for the end of the Masechet Bava Kamma. How gnei and gzeila work. Even without any type of kinyan gzeila, but he already took achrayas by removing the animal from my property. Now it's his responsibility. It's still my animal. He can't sell it. He has to give the animal back to me. If we catch him with the animal, he can't just pay me for it. He has to give me the animal back intact. It's my animal, but it's his key of shmira. So both those dinim, the fact shmira kiroi potters you, and that the shomer takes over the key to pay for hezek, both those indicate that maman hamazik, even shor, is not because of the maisa net and masa done by my maman, unlike, let's say, by Shabbos, where I'm responsible for my animal's maisim, it's because of the lack of shmirah. But what Rav Shachter and the Birkas Aram suggests is that's the motion in the Mishnah. The Havamina was that it is Maisa Nezek. I'm chayav for the Maisa Nezek of my animal. And that's why
That's why we would have said, oh, the Torah would have said Shar, said, yeah, because Shar is alive. See, we can speak meaningfully of the Shar's Maisa. Or if the it says Shar and Eish, Shar would have said, yeah, you have to pay for Shar and Eish because they move. So in some way, if I stretch the definitions of Maisa, I could in some way say that the Eish did a Maisa Nes. I would never say that by Bar. Let's develop this a little bit more, and then we'll take some questions and come back to the Rashba. Let's develop this a little bit more. It only hit me this year, in the last couple of weeks, why the Stipler wrote what he wrote at the beginning of Bava Kamma. The Stipler, and say something you've seen the Kil Siach for the best, they have over there. And he has beautiful shtiklah, very tend to be very, very readable. Most of them are very, very readable. It's very Kil Siach is very user-friendly. Far more so than his brother-in-law Sefer. Kazanish is a masterpiece, but very, very difficult to read. Sort of like Reb Chaim in Briskerot. Reb Chaim is very hard to read. Briskerot is a pleasure. Kazanish is very hard to read. Stipler is a pleasure. The writing style can vary even within one family. The Stipler usually goes, I'll say Reb Masechta. He'll have a piece about the Tosfos about Gimel, another piece about a Gemara and Daf A, the next one is about, you know, Rashba Daf A, whatever. No, he goes, I'll say it was after. Bava Kamma, he opens with an interesting discussion. It doesn't really seem to necessarily relate to Daf Beis. It's sort of like, he has an interesting question. He says, how do we know that you're not allowed to cause Nesek? Says, I have to pay for it. Okay. You're allowed to buy things. If you buy something, you have to pay for it. The fact you have to pay for something doesn't mean it's illegal to do it. You have to be willing to pay for it. If I buy something and I never pay for it, that's obviously illegal, as we call it. Right. But the fact that I'm obligated to pay for the things I buy doesn't mean there's anything wrong with buying it, obviously. Right? I buy it, pay, go. So the Stipler says, how do you know that it's us? Let's say I want to cause you to say, I'm going to pay you for it. I want to break your window. And I'll drop off a check. I have some frustration, I have to get out. So, I pick up a knife, I slash someone's tires. And I leave a few $100, inside the car. Now, it strikes us intuitively that's not okay. Right? But he says, it's not your neighbor, I didn't take your thing. I didn't steal anything. Your car remains where it is. I just caused a depreciation of value and immediately paid you for it.
But now
right?
You have to waste the time to
still steal. Okay. It is not there, but it's not stealing. So now, the first question you might ask is before the disciple asks, why is it us there? What's the mucker? The first question is it us there? So can you prove to me whether or not it's us there? A reason that you saw it. Ooh, very good. So let's come back to Knasim. There's someone even more explicit. Who is very explicit about it? I give you a hint as to Halacha Sefer. The tour opens Hilchos Nezik Nizkei Mamon with the following. Shin Ayin Ches. Keshtem Sha'asru Lignov Ligzol Mamon Chadero. Just as you're forbidden to steal someone's property. Theft, burglary, kach also lahazik b'mashlo. So too, you're forbidden to damage his property. Alpha fusion, even if I'm not gaining anything from it, so I have no gain. You can't say, oh, I'm stealing in the sense that I'm making use of your property. I'm not making use of it. Not that I ate your stuff. Stop. I go, I smash your window. I slash your tires. Kevin shemazik, and then he says, afilu she'enonene. Kevin shemazik. I'm sorry, I read it wrong. Right, he says. Just like you also ligno kai kekav also hazik mamon shalom. Period. And the second point is afilu she no nana. Even if I'm not deriving any benefit, still kaimen shemaziko beve mezbe mishogeg chayev l'shara. Then it gets into the onus. What about if you're adam hazik ba'onus and so on? So that's fascinating. It's also to do it. So the Stipler worked long and hard. The Siman Aleph. What's the mucker? Where is the source for the Easter? And they give you some of the cars in the footnote on the bottom of the tour right here.
See? Shunayim ches, unor al. I didn't kill this Yaakov, so we're not. They take a look at the Yaakov. Raman, Baba Basra, and Rabbi Yona, on the first mission of us, and the Miri, and the Baba Kama, and so on and so forth, and the Luker of Gusman, etc. There are plenty of places to look at. And they give many Makoros and Psukim. Certainly, it's a violation of Haftar Yafa Kamocha. And it's a violation of, you know, I'll insult people, you know, I'll quote people pain, you know, verbally. Insulting people is an Azron, a Lav Daraisa. So this presumably I'm causing you pain through this as well. And it's presumably a violation of Mitzvah, say, of, you know, of Vahafta Reyah HaTamov. If he wouldn't want him, I can't do things to you that you don't want. You reasonably wouldn't want me to do to you, I'm not allowed to do that to you. And then there's more. It's a violation of Shabbos HaVeda. It's a violation of Lo Samo Dam Reyecha. I have a chiyuv to not even passively stand idly by while you're suffering a loss. And if I see your stuff is out in the streets about to get ruined, it's a violation of Lav Daraisa, like eating bacon. For me to ignore, to serve, is both damim in the sense of blood. If it's a person's life is in danger, a person's body is in danger, or even his property is in danger. So I have an active obligation to go and save it. So as simple as that. Certainly I can't actively, I'm afraid to stop myself from being masochist. You'll have to think about it in a very technical way. Okay, the cycle works over the first simon, the first piece in Baba Kama, where is the Makrit Islamic? And he develops a number of different makaros. And the later editions, he has more. If you look at the older edition, you see there's a handwritten footnote, he added some more. So I wondered in the past, you know, it seems like sounds like an interesting opening piece for Baba Kama. Baba Kama is about Nezek. So he opens this interesting question, and it's a tasty that's Ashlazik. In the past, I hadn't thought about it so much as a it's something to have to do with Daf Beis in particular, just sort of a general, interesting Baba Kama question. But the truth is, it is absolutely bound up with Daf Beis in particular. It's absolutely bound up with this particular issue. The idea that the chiyuv, because if you dig deeper into the concept of saying, well, there's a chiyuv shmira, and I pay for my lack of shmira. What do you mean there's a chiyuv shmira? Where is there a chiyuv shmira? So if I'm a shomer, and I allow your thing to get ruined, the Chumash says that I took responsibility for that. But where does it say in the Chumash that I'm obligated to watch my stuff, or if I'm a shomer, to watch his stuff, shelo yazik asachir? And here is the answer. The Isser lahazik is actually, according to this way of thinking, that I have to pay because I violated that Isser. If there's an Isser lahazik, based on some pasuk or another, what that translates into practically is I have a chiyuv shmir. If I have to make sure that if I'm not allowed to cause you damage or allow my property to cause you damage, then what that means is I'm halakhically obligated to keep tabs on my property. I'm halakhically obligated to take the steps necessary to make sure that my property doesn't cause you damage. Oh, so one says a isser lahazik. Isser lahazik, that's a chiyuv shmira. So then the neila, that's sort of the first step, is an isser lahazik. So there's a chiyuv shmira. And then the Torah is bachash, not only is there a chiyuv shmira, but I even have to pay if I wasn't shomer. You could imagine saying, look, I shouldn't have done it. If I work, you know, I have a chiyuv tepan tefillin. Let's say Rachmal Tzlan. One day Jew decides he's not wearing tefillin. That's terrible. Do we make him pay money as a result? No. You did the wrong thing, you have to do tshuva. You did not pay, you have to do tshuva. If I insulted you, was I allowed to insult you? No. If I insulted you, I have to pay you? Not necessarily. I did the wrong thing. Maybe I should if I should ask Mechila. I don't have to pay you. Oh, I'll be mostly if you're paying $250,000. Whoa. I have to advise you, but then you have to pay you. So you could imagine, I have a chiyuv to make sure that I have to be nice to other people. So I have a chiyuv to make sure that my mom isn't mazagot. But just because I wasn't nice doesn't mean I necessarily have to pay for it. So you could have imagined, there is a chiyuv shmira, that's it. Come to Torah Machai, does there a chiyuv shmira, you have to pay for your chiyuv. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on in terms of Shmiras and Alecha. That explains the two major deen in the first mission of Hakones. It's all rooted in fundamentally what the stipler's first question, how do you know this is Isra Lahazik? Because once it's Isra Lahazik, that translates practically into a Chiyuv Shmira, and that forms the basis for I need to pay for a Pshia that Shmira. And finally, let's take it back to the Rashba, with whom we started. What did the Rashba say? Rashba said, you remember, Barah Bechudesh, Barah very uncharacteristic, Barah breaks the mold. Which mold? Three molds. So number two is it breaks the mold that it's not even Mamoni Shehizik. I don't really own the bar. I created the problem, but I don't own the material. Okay. Number three was that since it's immobile, the bar is immobile, therefore it must, the only way that Nezek could have occurred is if the Nizak walked into the bar. Now he didn't realize it was there, but he participated. And again, I understand why we could have imagined incorrectly, but if Tar wouldn't have told me bar, I would have thought it's not, the Nizak is participating in the Maisa Hezek. But what type of Nezek is that? Maybe it's it. But what's with the first one then? That is Eino Hole Chumazik. But even what I've been before, Eino Hole Chumazik. Well, that's just the same as the Nizak had to come to the Mazik. But now we understand. The fact that he's ain't a holocaust, the fact that the bar is immobile means two things. So the later on, point number three, the Rashba gets to practically speaking, if the bar can't move, that means that the Nizak must have walked into the bar, in which case from a practical standpoint, it's not really entirely attributable to the Baal HaBor. This Nezek is partially attributable to the Nizak. So I could have guessed he should be punted. What he was saying at first is probably what we were saying before. And what's exciting about this Rashba is he's giving us a strong clue that there's more to Eino Holech U'Mazik than merely the fact that practically the Nizak had to walk in. It's something essentially different about Eino Holech U'Mazik. What's essentially different? Yeah, the Nizak had to walk. No, that's a separate point. The fundamental, essential point is what we were saying before. That the Rashba, I think, would read the Mishnah the way Shechter and the Birkas Avraham did. In other words, Eino Holech U'Mazik on its own means that's not a Maisa of the bar. That if I just had Shar, and that's how we read the Mishnah before, right? If I just had Shar, it was, Shar is Ruach Chaim, Mav is Ruach Chaim, and therefore what? And then Ruach, you could see them as having done a masa. Even Aish, it's not alive, there's no consciousness there, but it moves, so I could in some sense talk about Aish as being a maisa. My fire acted, my fire went. But my bar was stationary. So leaving aside the fact that practically means that you walked into it, and therefore you did something, fundamentally, that we'll get to later, but the mental point is, my bar didn't do anything, and therefore there's no maisa. Up until everything seems so maisa-driven. Bar is the great chiddush that there's no maisa, it's not memoni shehizik. Not memoni shehizik in two senses. The second sense is not memoni. That's point number two. Point number one, it's not shehizik. It didn't do anything. I can't say my bar did something. There's no maisa. What you could say, though, is the only thing you can say is I am responsible for the situation. That's the whole idea. I made a takala. I made a problem. I created a dangerous situation. There's nothing of mine which is acting here. Nothing of mine. Even you would call the bar mine, it didn't act. There's no mice in heaven. But what there is a chiyuv shmirah. You create a dangerous situation, you're obligated. In the Torah, not only are you obligated to keep tabs on your property, you're obligated to keep tabs on situations that you caused. They're also ki'ilu yours for purposes of nezek. That's the chiddush of bar. It's so unlike everything else. And that's why bar really functions that, to the extent that the Rashba even thinks they don't have a chiddusha. But again, the Rashba is clearly assuming this fundamental idea, this fundamental reading of the Mishnah. Again, against Rabbeinu Yohanan, who, along the lines, but not to say, Rabbeinu Yohanan sounds like from beginning to end, we're assuming even from the Hava Mina, that it's all about Chiyuv Shmira. And for Ben Yonasan, so the Mishnah did deal in detail. More chiyuv shmira here, less chiyuv shmira there, because it's more likely to go, less likely to go. For the Rajba, though, I think Rajba means the way these Achronim read it, that the Mishnah is making a fundamental shift. We're moving from Tzad A to Tzad, details within the Tzad of chiyuv shmira. We started by talking about a chiyuv as a result of a Maisa Hezek, and we moved to say, no, there doesn't have to be any Maisa Hezek. It's all about the chiyuv shmira. Your violation, your pshir, chiyuv shmira, is the Mechayim in Tashlumei Nezek. I'm glad to stick around for questions. If you want to go back to the source on this, the Birka Shmuel is in the civil days in Babakam.